Okay, it's really a pleasure and it's a first to be back here. As I've said in a few times that I've given Zoom Shirim, if you want to turn on your video, that's always more inviting to the speaker. But if you don't want to turn on your video, that's also okay. But I definitely would love for more people to turn on the video if you can and if you're comfortable. That would be awesome.
Good to have you back.
Thank you. Thank you, Rabbi Brand. It's
And
great
we'll
to be
see you
back.
tonight, Mir Tashem.
Amir Tashem. Amir Tashem. Okay, I wanted to learn together a little bit about the idea of tshuva. So the title is How Does Tshuva Work? What I mean by that is a really technical question. So let's just create a scenario for a second, and it's not my scenario. This is a scenario that was really created by the Sefer Yikarim of Yosef Albo. But let's say someone unfortunately murders someone. Okay, a terrible sin. Reuven murders Shimon. He kills him. Shimon is no longer alive, unfortunately. Now Reuven comes along, and Reuven says, "I feel terrible. I Beis Din, I feel terrible. I really regret it. I know that I was Mekabel Yisrael. I know that I said I did it, and I intentionally and everything else, and I accept the consequences, but I feel really guilty. Now that I did the act, I feel terrible about it." So what happens? Now all of a sudden, HaKadosh Baruch Hu views it as like, okay, oh, you said you're sorry, you say you feel bad, so it's as if it never happened. Like, how does that work? Like, it's just magic. Like, it's just like, okay, Hashem, you said you didn't want it. You still killed someone, right? The person's still dead. So what exactly is the mechanism from which tshuva works? What is the idea of tshuva? Again, it almost sounds like, there's a parenting thing that I do all the time, so I'm critiquing myself. But like, we tell kids, like, ask nicely. So ask nicely is important to ask nicely, but it almost feels like anytime I ask nicely, like, I get what I want, right? So like, can I have, this cereal? Ask nicely. Okay, can I please have this cereal? Okay, sure, of course you have that cereal. And it almost teaches a child to think, right? They're like, okay, like, I could just, like, as long as I say the word please in a sentence, I can get whatever I want. And similarly, the idea of tshuva almost feels like we are that child to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem. We could do whatever we want. It almost feels like we could do whatever we want. And then as long as it comes Elul, comes Rosh Hashanah, comes Yom Kippur, we're like, sorry, Hashem, I'm really sorry. So all of a sudden, everything is just null and void. And the question I want to deal with today is, how does tshuva work? What exactly does that mean? That we're able to just, talk to Hashem and ask for forgiveness, and we are forgiven. So this question and this topic, I want to do it through really two sources, but mainly a Sefer Yikarim. So I'm going to share my screen, which I already did, and we're going to learn together a Sefer Yikarim, which I think is it's a beautiful and powerful idea regarding how tshuva works and how our actions are viewed in general and our behavior. So if you look in the Sefer Yikarim on the source number one here, Sefer Yikarim, Maimer Dalet, Perichav Zayin. So Rabbi Yosef Albo asked this question. It's a long piece, so we're not going to read it all inside. But in the first paragraph, he asked this question, which is, how does it work? I just say I'm sorry, and all of a sudden everything is gone. The act happened. What exactly is the efficacy of tshuva, of repenting for our sins? So if you look at the second paragraph, he says the following fundamental idea. V'ne'emar sha'pe'ulos ha'anashiyot sha'alein yeshuvah ha'adam o yeguna hein ha'pe'ulos ha'ritzoniyot hana'asos b'bechira. He says that the actions of man that are either going to be praised or denigrated are actions that are done willingly with free choice. V'zeh kishiyah ha'osa osan yodea be'ez asiyasan she'osa ha'pe'ula hi v'rosa ba'asiyasa bocher ba'alzulasa. If a person, when he does the act, he wants that act, and he's choosing it over other acts. Ulezayisnatzlu hashikurim al peulo sheosim beis hashichros lomer sheosim b'lo yedia. That's how every single drunkard gets away with saying, "I didn't mean to do it. I was drunk, right? I didn't mean to do it. I was drunk, right?" And therefore, people even sometimes give him a pass, right, for their behavior, right? We see it unfortunately all the time on Purim, right? People act on Purim in crazy ways, and we're like, "Oh yeah, he was drunk on Purim." That's how people act, right? Meaning, but right? Even though they're doing it with their own will and with their own choice, so Right, so too he says, right, we're not going to say that a person should be denigrated on acts that he did not willingly, right, even if they were done with his knowledge. For example, he says, let's say a person is forced to do something, right, a gun to his head, right, and he said he's forced to do something. If you don't do this, you're going to get punished in extreme fashion, right? So yes, it was done technically with his, technically it was done willingly, right? But it wasn't done with his ratzon, with his will. Ulam, he says, "Acher she'nasa spiritzono elame hechrecha ones lo yiguno alev." Since it was done through an ones, so he was being forced to do it, he's not going to be denigrated. And therefore, he says his main point right here in this sentence, "Imkain," and the underlined part, if you haven't been following until this point, "Imkain ha'pu'ula she'yishuba ha'adam aleha imhi tova o yiguna imhi ra." The act that a person will be praised if it's good, or he'll be denigrated if it's bad. Says the Sefer Yekarim the following. The act that a person will be judged on is that he does it willingly over something else, and he wants it to be that way. And the acts that you don't get praised or denigrated for are acts that you're forced to do. So those are acts that he doesn't really want, and he didn't choose above other things. Meaning, right, just to summarize what he's saying and to get to the point that he's about to make about tshuva, the idea is that we really only praise people or denigrate people on acts that they do willingly. The moment that we explain why they did something, right? So now we say, oh, you did that because you were forced to do it, or you did that because you wanted to get the praise that person was going to give you. You don't get the same level, right, of praise from HaKadosh Baruch Hu or praise even from people on an act that you did in any kind of forced manner. When you're forced to do something, right, so it doesn't get the same level of recognition. Things that are recognized positively or negatively in human decision are things that are done by his choice. Now, how do we know that you chose it? Because I chose to do it and I want it to be that way. I'm happy with the way that it came out. You look in the next paragraph, he says the following. There are actions that are mixtures of your force and you want it. Shehin emtsios bin shnei elo haminim shezacharnu. He says something fascinating. There are acts that are kind of in the middle. You don't really know, is someone really choosing to do this, or is he being forced to do this, right? And you don't really know how to judge those acts. And when you don't know how to judge those acts, you don't know, do I give you credit for it, right? Or do I not give you credit? Is this something that's considered to be a positive, right? Or neutral or negative or nothing, right? What exactly do you judge it? How do you look at it, right, in terms of a person's act? And I want to just explain that a little bit more. I'm going to stop my screen share for a minute. I want to just explain that idea a little bit more, because I think it's a very profound insight that he's making, which is the following. There are some things that we know a person is forced to do. Again, when we say forced to do, I don't necessarily mean gun to your head forced to do. We just mean, right, that it's not in your bechira, it's not in your free will to choose otherwise, right? There are certain things that we do that are literally not in our free will to do otherwise. There are other acts, right, that are completely in our free will. It's 100% our choice and we're doing it, and therefore we should either get credit for it or we should get punished for it. But there are a lot of acts, and probably most acts that we do, that fall somewhere in the middle ground where you don't really know how to deal with it. So I'm going to give you an example as a classroom teacher, and I hope that this is, if it's not relevant to you in your life right now, it's relevant in the sense that you can relate to the example. So as a classroom teacher, in a high school, so sometimes you'll have a student who misbehaves a lot, right? And more often than not, what happens is, if you're a good teacher, so you start to not just, you know, discipline him, but you try to understand where this kid is coming from. And all of a sudden you start to learn what's going on in his home life, right? What his learning issues may be. Maybe he has a diagnosed, right, learning issue. Maybe he has attention deficit disorder. And you learn all these things about this student. And all of a sudden, what happens in your mind is you transition from this place of like judgment of like, this student is terrible, right? And you transition all of a sudden to a place of, well, wait a second, like, I don't know, I'm starting to understand this student a little more. I'm not really sure, right, if this is something that's worth judging. Maybe, right, they're, quote, forced to be behaving this way, right? Now, when I say forced to be behaving this way, I don't mean literally they're forced. It means exactly what I think this Rav Albo is saying. It's kind of a mixture between the fact that, like, who wouldn't act this way in his life circumstances? Who wouldn't think to behave this way, dealing with all the challenge that this person is dealing with? And all of a sudden, you start to view that a little bit differently. And therefore, says Rav Yosef Albo, a fascinating and beautiful idea. How does tshuva work then in this context? So let's look at what he says. And I'm going to go back to sharing my screen, right? If you look at this paragraph here, Val Kain nira, shehagbalas pe'ulos haritzonit hu al zeh haderech. To judge something as an act that you want, it's the following way. Shehadavar shi'aseh adam, uve'eh shi'aseh yivchuru al zulas. Again, when you did it, you wanted it. Uve'rotzeh bo. And after it's done, you also want it to be that way. Kolomar, meaning to say, he wants it to be done this way. Even though in the beginning there might have been a little bit of an onus, there might have been a little bit of force to this action, but if after the fact, right, he still wants it to be kayim, that's how you know, right, this was something that he was happy about, right? If a person, right, looks back and says, right, Taka, that was like a good thing that I did. I'm happy that I did that, right? So again, if it was a good deed, so he'll be judged positively. If it was a bad deed, he'll be judged negatively, right? If he's still looking back at that act and he has no regret and he has no shame and he's saying, yeah, I'm happy that I did that, right? So again, that's ratzon. So again, in a positive light, that could mean there are certain things that we do, right, in a positive, in a mitzvah form, that when we did them, maybe we had a certain encouragement, a certain peer pressure, a certain, you know, positive environment that kind of, again, quote, forced us to do that. But if we look back and we say, wow, I'm so proud of that behavior and that which I did, so that's ratzon. And then the negative side, if we did something and we look back, right, and we say, I'm so happy that I did that, okay, so that's going to be, right, judged negatively. But let's say you look back and you say, I can't believe I did that. I can't believe I behaved that way. I look back at the way that I behaved this past year, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, 10 years ago. And I say, I can't believe I behaved that way. I was young. I was immature. You know, I didn't understand life at that time. This is the way that I can't believe I behaved. I regret the fact that I behaved that way. So says Rav Yosef Albo the following chiddush. If you regret the way that you behave, so that act is no longer a ratzon. Retroactively, we say, looking back at that act wasn't done for ratzon. Maybe at the time there was a level of ratzon. But if you're looking back and saying, I don't like this, right? That's saying, right, that I have charata, I regret it. That's not considered ratzon anymore. And he says, we have a precedent for this in halacha. This isn't generally a very interactive shiur, especially over Zoom. But what's the precedent for this in halacha? Where do we find that if you have charata in the past that uproots, right, what you did? Someone want to help me out? Unmute yourself. No one?
Isn't that Rambam?
Not in Tshuva. Forget about in Tshuva. In Halacha, we have a halachic precedent for this. Where is this true? In what area of Halacha? I'll highlight it for you because I'm about to read it. He says, right, in Hilchos Nedarim, what happens? I take a neder, right? I take a neder, and all of a sudden, a week later, I say, I can't believe I took that neder. What was I thinking, right? I took a neder, right? Let's give an example, right? I took a neder. I'm not going to eat red meat during the week, right? I then go to my doctor. My doctor says to me, for whatever reason, you need to eat red meat. It's healthy for you. You need to eat red meat. So I say, that was a silly neder. I shouldn't have taken that neder. I have charata. I'm taking a neder. I go back to my doctor, right? I go back to my rabbi now, excuse me. I say, I have charata, right? Can you undo my nether for me? I regret that behavior. Now, how does that work, right? It means that because I no longer want it, we can say as if the nether is null and void. Now, did the nether happen? Of course the nether happened. But since now I'm saying I don't want it anymore, it's going to change. And based on this idea, Rav Albo explains beautifully, this is the Gemara, the well-known Gemara in Maseches Yuma. The Gemara says, the Rambam quotes in Hilchos Tshuva, the Gemara says in Maseches Yuma, I believe it's on Daf Pei Vav, the Gemara says that what is a Baal Tshuva? What does a Baal Tshuva look like? So the Gemara says that the person comes to the same place, that same place where he sinned originally, right? The Gemara says, Ba'osa, Makam, Ba'osa, Isha, right? He has the same chance to do the same faith, and he doesn't do it. That's Tshuva Gemura. Now, what does that mean that's Tshuva Gemura? So explains your Alba, based on everything that he's saying now, if I was in the same place, with the same woman, and the same opportunity to sin, and I didn't do it, what am I showing? I obviously didn't really want it the first time, right? Because if I didn't do it this time, I'm showing in full view, right, that my ratzon is not for that act that happened. I have another chance to do it, and I don't do it, right? So that is Tshuva Gemura. And what comes out of this idea of Rav Albo, and I want to explain it very clearly before we go on to the second approach, what comes out of Rav Albo is an amazing idea about Tshuva. Then when we ask the question of how does tshuva work in a Kadosh Baruch Hu's world, so tshuva works as follows. It doesn't change the fact that the act happened. So let's say, for example, let's go back to our original example, right? A person kills someone. Reuven kills Shimon, right? So Shimon is dead. Shimon's not coming back to life. So how does tshuva work? So says Rav Albo that in the world of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, if I look back on that act, and I say, I can't believe I ever did that, right? My ratzon wasn't really to do that. I was forced to do that for some reason, for some way, shape, or form, right? That I don't have the ratzon anymore, right? For that act to be kayim. If I look back and I'm able to say, I don't want that to happen, all of a sudden, right? All of a sudden Hashem says, then that act wasn't done willingly. So we redefine the act that you did, that the act that you did that wasn't done willingly, right, can be redefined, and therefore it's not going to be counting against you. So according to the Sefer Yikarim, the way tshuva works, before we go on to the second idea, the way tshuva works is the act that you did 100% happened, but you can redefine the act and say that that same act that happened is no longer done baratzon, and therefore Hashem is going to not count it against me because I didn't do it willingly, and I'm proving it from the fact that I regret it so much, right? That's what he says. The Ramchal, Rav Moshe Chaim Lutato, in his masterpiece, the Sias Yesharim, presents a very different perspective on tshuva. So I want to look at source number two. In source number two, the Mesilas Yesharim writes as follows. The Im Tomer, if you're going to say, Im kein midas harachamim lama hi omedes, right? What happens to midas harachamim? Kein mishal kol panim, tzarech ledaktik bedin al kol davar. Hashem has to judge every single one so carefully. Hashem, we have to be very zahir, is the context of this, right? Mesilas Yesharim. We have to practice zahiris, being careful, and Hashem is going to judge us. So where's rachamim? Says Ramchal, Hatshuva Vadai Midas Harachim Hikiyumo Shel Olam Shelo Haya Ome Zulaso Klal Klal. Says the Ramchal that the world would not stand without the ability without Rachman. But Afa Pichin Ain Midas Hadin Loke. But that doesn't mean that Midas Hadin goes aside. Vizek, Kila Fishra Sadin Mamish Hayarai Shechote Yaanish Miyat, Lechata Bitliam Tana Klal. He says, if we are following the letter of the law, a person who sins should be punished immediately without waiting. And that punishment should be done in the Kaddish Baruch Hu's full anger. Like one who rebels against the master of the universe, the one who created the world. And by the way, there should be no tikkun. You should not be able to fix any sin. In truth, the Ramchal asks the same question. How can you fix something that you did already? You can't fix something you did already. I did the act. Harisha ratzach ha'adam es chaveiro. The same thing. I killed my friend. Harisha naf. I committed adultery. Eich yugal atakin adavar hazeh. Am I able to fix that? Vayuchal ahasir ha'maisa asoy min ha'mtsias. Can I remove the act that I did? Says the Ramchal, right? Exactly the same question that led the Rav Albo to say his answer, the Ramchal says it's impossible, right? You can't erase an act that you did. Tshuva doesn't make any sense. How could tshuva make sense? The only reason tshuva exists is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a chesed. And he speaks that in the next paragraph very clearly. Amnam, however, midas harachamim hi hanosenes hepech hashlosha dvarim shezacharim. The midas harachamim, it gives us the exact opposite of what we just said. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he gives us right, he gives us time, right, after we sin, and he doesn't destroy us immediately. and the punishment for every sin is not destruction. And tshuva was given b'chesed gomer. And listen to this line. This is the key line of the Ramchal. Akiras haratzon ka'akiras ha'maisa. Says the Ramchal, you want to know why tshuva is a chesed gomer, is a complete chesed? Because Hashem views it that akiras haratzon, getting rid of the ratzon, is ka'akiras ha'maisa. It's like Hashem erased the act from the universe, right? So says the Ramchal, extremely differently than Rav Yosef Alba. You want to know how tshuva works? Tshuva works as follows. If Hashem sees that you really regret what you did, Hashem takes it as if that act never happened. If I look back on the videotape, I killed someone? No. If you rewind the video, you didn't kill anyone, right? So according to Ramchal, what comes out is a very different understanding of tshuva, right? If we use that example for a second, right? If we use the Rav Yosef Alba's understanding of tshuva, if I rewind the videotape, of course I killed someone. We see that I killed someone. However, we can redefine that and give a perish. We give a Torah Shabbat Peh, right? And we say, yeah, you killed someone, but you didn't really intend it. You didn't really mean it. Your regret means that when you did that, you didn't really mean it. According to the Ramchal, if we rewind the videotape, we won't find that scene. That scene will not be there, right? For those of you, I don't know if you guys were raised on this analogy, but I was always raised on this imagery that when we get to Shemayim, we're going to watch a videotape of our lives, and Hashem is going to say what we did and what we could have fulfilled had we done differently. I don't know if you guys have ever heard that, or I grew up on that analogy. Okay, some of you I see are nodding your heads with you who have your video on, right? So I grew up on that analogy. So according to the Ramchal, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows that video, if you did proper tshuva, those scenes are deleted. It's deleted scenes. They're not going to be there, right? According to the Rav Yosef Alba, of course they're going to be there, right? They're just going to be redefined. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to allow us to redefine those acts based on our current behavior. Now, I'd like to suggest that this machlokas has two other fascinating applications. The two applications go as follows. One application, I'm gonna try my best to not read these inside. I'm happy to share the source sheet afterwards, but I'm gonna try and talk this out a little bit without reading inside. One application is as follows. The idea that we can do tshuva, the idea that every single day of the year, forget about Elul, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, but the idea that this time of year specifically, but all year round, we have the ability to do tshuva. Is that a chesed from HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Or is that a right? Is that a right or a privilege? Is like the way I like to phrase it. Is that something that we deserve the right to do tshuva? Or would you say, no, it's a chesed. We don't deserve the right to do tshuva, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as a complete chesed, right, allows us to do tshuva. So the Ramchal already told us explicitly, he writes it, that tshuva is a chesed gomer. It's a complete chesed from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What I'd like to suggest is, of course, the Ramchal thinks that, because the Ramchal thinks that the chesed is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu erased the act. This never happened. That's a chesed gomer. The idea that Hashem would say, I did something, and we view that like it never happened, that is a chesed gomer. But let's go to the mindset of the Sefer Yekarim for a second. Let's say we think like Rav Yosef Alba, that the idea of tshuva is not that we erase the act. The act happened. We know that it happened. But we're able to say that it happened because of life circumstances, or it happened based on whatever it may be, and you have full regret, right? You really regret it. You're redefining that act. So is there an element of chesed? 100% there's an element of chesed. But is that chesed gomer? I wouldn't say that's chesed gomer. It's a HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowing us, right, to redefine that act, right, and say, right, that the, what I did, I'm explaining it differently. I'm able to look at that same act and say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, yes, it looked that way then, but I'm telling you it's different now, right? I'm able to say that's not exactly what happened. In fact, right, the Gemara in Yuma says, right, that the Gemara says that tshuva meyira, right? If you do tshuva out of fear, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes your sin that was done to mezid and he turns it into a shogi. If you do tshuva me'ahava, HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes your faith, right? And he turns it into a mitzvah, right? So what exactly does that mean? So if you're in the world of the Ramchal, it happens to be, that Gemara is a little bit hard to understand. What he erased the act completely, but he erased it and made it a shogeg, and then he erased it completely and made it into a mitzvah. In the Ramchal's world and understanding of tshuva, it's actually a little bit hard to understand how to read that Gemara. But I want to explain to you, I think so beautifully, how I think Rav Yosef Alba would read that Gemara in a beautiful way, right? What's the whole idea of tshuva? Is that it takes away the ratzon. So if I do tshuva meyira, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, listen, you regret it, right? You feel bad that you did it. We can redefine the act, right? And say you did it on purpose, but we're going to say it's like you did it by accident because you feel bad about it, right? But let's go to the other side. Let's say that you do tshuva me'ava. You do complete tshuva in the highest level. So what does it mean that it becomes a mitzvah? So what I'd like to suggest, and I think the pshat in the Gemara is as follows. A person who makes a mistake and learns the complete lesson from that mistake is going to be a catalyst for them for life to do the right thing, right? Forever now, they're going to be stronger because of that mistake that they made, right? Imagine, again, I like giving an analogy, so we'll give another analogy, right? A worker, right? It works for his company, right? And he cuts a few dollars for himself. He takes some money off the top, right? And he's slipping some money into his own account, right? And his boss catches him, right? And the boss calls him into the office, right? And he says, Bob, I love you, but you've been stealing money from the company. You already stole $10,000. I'm really sorry. We have to fire you, right? So Bob, crying, upset. I'm so sorry. I'm terrible. I'll never do it again. I'll never do it again. I promise never do it again. Right. He's just fearful for his job. Right. And he's fearful. Please, I'm begging you, give me another chance. I'm begging you. Fine. Right. Okay. So Bob may get forgiven. Let's say his boss is a nice guy. Okay. Fine. I'm going to let you go. Right. I'll turn the other way. We say, right. I'll pretend it didn't happen. Right. But don't let it ever happen again. Right. And Bob works in fear for the rest of his life, making sure he doesn't cheat. Okay. That's one way. But imagine that 6 months later, right, Bob is a better worker than he ever has been, right? And he is working harder and he's working better and he's the most honest guy and he's preaching honesty and he's changed his whole life based on this. Why? He goes into his boss and he says, I want to tell you, did me the biggest favor. When you caught me, right, you did me the biggest favor. You taught me, right, how bad it is to be dishonest, the feeling that I had from that. I would never in my life steal again. I'm a changed person from that behavior. And the boss even sees, wow, his behavior is completely different, right? So looking back on that act of him stealing, right? So if we're in Rav Yosef Albo's world, tshuva doesn't erase acts. No, it redefines acts. So if I redefine this act to a way that it's a catalyst for me to do better, the Gemara makes perfect sense. Of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to look back and say that sin, that chait, right, is actually now a mitzvah. Because that chait is what was the catalyst for you to do a million more mitzvahs afterwards, right? And that's what it means when we say that tshuva me'ava, your chait turns into a mitzvah because we redefine the act. In Yosef Albo's world, that Gemara is a beautiful Gemara about the way that we redefine things. It happens to be, if you understand it like the Ramchal, that Gemara is a little bit hard to understand, meaning we like erase it, but then we give you points for a mitzvah, it's a little bit hard to understand. So point number one that I want to make about the, it's kind of one and one A, I guess, about this, is number one is tshuva a chesed or is tshuva din, right? So if you think that a tshuva is like the Ramchal, it's akiras haratzon, akiras hamaisa, we view it like this act never happened, so that's a chesed gamur, that's a complete chesed. But if you view it that it's a redefinition of the act, right, and we're able to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says when you change your ruts and we can redefine an act. So perhaps what I'd like to suggest, right, is that it's not just chesed, there's also an element of din. And if you look on the source sheet that I could post later, the Meiri and the Maharal both have ideas that tshuva is actually mina din. We have a right to tshuva. It's not just a privilege, and perhaps they're living within the world again of the of Rav Yosef Albo. The other idea that I would like to share is an explanation of a different Gemara, a Gemara in Brachos on the Avlam Adalam days at the end of the fifth parak. The Gemara in Brachos talks about a Baal Tshuva and a Tzadik Gamur. The Gemara presents him a chlokes, who is greater? Is a Tzadik Gamur greater or is a Baal Tshuva greater? Which one is greater? So I'm going to share with you, we'll actually look at this inside because you're not going to believe me unless I show it to you inside. So if you look on that Gemara, not actually on the Gemara, excuse me, but if you look at the Rabbeinu Yonah in Maseches Avos, Perek Gimel Mishnah Tezai. The Mishnah in Perek Avos says an idea. Look at source number 5. Hu Aya Omer Hakol Nasun BeRavon. Everything is given as a guarantee with a guarantor. Mitzuda Prusa Kol Achayim. There's a net spread out of your life. Hachanas Psucha. right? The store is open. Vachenvani makeif. The chenvani is keeping track. Vapinchas pasuah. The book is open. Vayad koseves. Right, and the hand is writing. Vachol harotza lovos yava v'yelva. Right, whoever wants to borrow can come. Vagaboy matzir entada vachol yova nepremina adam idaita v'shlomi daito. Right. And don't worry, there's tax collectors going around, and they're going to make sure that you pay your money back, right? Whether you want to or whether you don't want to. And this is obviously an analogy to the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world, right? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running the world like a store, right? And everything is there to be lent out, to be taken, right? But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is writing everything down, and he's going to make you pay for what you take. So the Rebbeinu Yonah on that Mishnah had a really, really interesting idea about what does it mean that the Pinkas is pasuach and the yad is kosevis. What does it mean that this book is always open and the hand is always right? So he says, if you look here, I'm going to highlight the word vasheni, right in the middle, in the fourth line. He says vasheni lohodienu ki ein mamtinen lepsichas apinkas achashosafi. We don't wait for you to finish your sin for Hashem to write down. Ela bigmar meisek bar kosevu. The second the act's over, it's written. Because Hashem doesn't even want 1 second to pass where that sin doesn't count against you. And then he says, and even though sins will be forgiven for a Baal Tshuva, nimnin osan tfila, Hashem counts them first, miyad shegamru melasosan, immediately after you finished it, but after came, then afterwards, miyasar b'tshuva mochlen lo. If you do tshuva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to forgive you. Meaning, says Rabbi Yonah, a really harsh and interesting idea. Says Rabbi Yonah, if you sin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu records it immediately. Now, you may get a chance to do tshuva, right? You may do tshuva, but the sin is never erased. It's just going to be crossed out.
This is din, not chesed.
Ah, exactly, 100%. And says Rabbi Yonah, excuse me, further, Kedar minam b'medrash, eino kamisha lo asu. Right? Ela asuva nimcho. It's not like you never did it. It's like you did it and it was forgiven. Shagala misha ana osa, misha osa mochalo. And by the way, it's greater, right? If you never did it, then if you did it in your mocha. And says Rabbi Yonah, I know you're going to ask of me. Umasha, Marina, Stigan, Gemara, Omdamakash, Balachu, and Omdamasham. Right? You're going to quote to me the Gemara and Brachos that says that Sadiq and Gemurin can't stand where Balachu can stand. Says Rabbi Yonah, Ratzalomar. Shabale tshuva yesh lahem lahafrish min hamus min hamutter kinyan shechatavo. Kamo im avra al arayas hafil bo se ish beishto, excuse me, ish lasani imav minas hafrish shetar shechatavo yefrosh hafil min hamutter yosim hashtig gemar tshetan lasos. Says Rabbi Yonah the following idea. All the Gemara means is not that a Baal Tshuva is greater. It means that a Baal Tshuva has to be koresh min hafait more than someone who's a tzadik gamar, right? That's what it means, but it doesn't actually mean that he's great. Now, that Rabbi Yonah is pretty wild, right? We generally don't teach that Gemara and Brachos that way. We usually teach the Gemara and Brachos that a Baal Tshuva stands on a level higher than a Tzadik Gamar. And Rabbi Yonah is clearly not saying that. So I believe, again, whether or not Rabbi Yosef Alba has to agree to this point, he's definitely living in the world of Rabbi Yosef Alba. That Tshuva doesn't make it like an act never happened. The act happened. HaKadosh Baruch Hu may forgive you for that act. He may cross out that act. He may, right? But it happened, right? It's not going to be like it never happened, right? You know, the mashal, an outdated mashal, but it's like when you use whiteout on paper, right? You can use whiteout on paper, but you're always going to see that there was whiteout there, right? It's not going to be like it never was, right? The whiteout mark is always going to be there on the paper, no matter what. That's what Rabbi Yonah understands, tshuva. However, if you look at the Rambam, the last source in the page here, the Rambam clearly says not the way. The Rambam says, "Al yadam ebal tshuva shumeruchot mimalas hatzadikim ibn havonos vachatov shasa." Don't think that a Baal Tshuva is distance from a tzaddik because the sins that he does. Ein hadavar kein. That's not true. Ela aha v'nechmanu lifnei abore. He's loved before Hashem. And what does he say? Ki ilu lo chata meolam, as if he had never sinned. Velo od el shesfaro harbe shari tam tam chedu prishman v'kavash yitzro. He has more scar because he tasted sin and he's Polish. Amru chachamim and nasri, says the chachamim, says, Malcolm Shabbat Chu, and Om them bo instig and morning chal namud bo. Kolomer malas and gadol ni malas elish lochat, real nation, kosh nitrim yasumian. Says the Rambam, their reward is actually greater because their kovish yis are more. So perhaps, again, this is not mufra, is the language I use, it doesn't have to be this way, but perhaps this machlokas Rabbeinu Yonah and the Rambam is based on the same idea. If you believe, right, that tshuva works like Rabbi Yosef Albo says, right, that we don't erase the act, we redefine the act. Okay, so we can only redefine an act so much. The act happened, right? Again, we can redefine it and say it's positive, et cetera, but it's still better if you never stole it, right? It's still better had you never committed that sin in the first place. But if you view it like the Ramchal, that tshuva means we erase the act completely. It's, it never happened. Akiras haratzon and akiras hamaisa, this act never happened. So if we say that, then Yutaka could say that, of course, the Baal Tshuva can stand on a level higher than a Tzadik Gomer. Why? Because he's Kovish Yitzer more. He has the motivation now to be Kovish Yitzer more. And that act that you're saying happened never happened, right? We erased it from the video, in which case he came in a higher level. So to summarize and to end, we suggested, right? We start with a question. How does Tshuva work? So we gave two possible suggestions. Perhaps Tshuva works as a redefinition of the act, right? The act happened. We redefine the act. Because as Rabbi Yosef Albo says so beautifully, right, the idea of an act, right, is you only get praised or denigrated on an act based on the ratzon, based on how much you actually want it, right? So therefore, if you could redefine an act that wasn't really ratzon, then you're going to get forgiveness for that. We saw the Ramchal, so that's not the Pshat and Tshuva. Pshat and Tshuva is that once you don't want it anymore, we erase the act, if it never happened, the act is deleted from the scenes, right? And two possible nafkaminas, one possible nafkamina we had, is whether or not tshuva is chesed or din, right? And discussion there, and perhaps that Gemara in Yuma about tshuva me'ava and tshuva me'ira. And the second possible discussion is about tshuva, right? Is about tshuva actually greater than a tzadik gomer? So if you assume that it's, again, like Rabbeinu Yonah, that it can never possibly be greater, or do we assume like the Rambam, that of course about tshuva can be on a level even higher than a tzadik gomer. Thank you guys so much. We're like 3 minutes early. So when we're in person, it's a little